Hello, you are listening to Wellness Unfiltered Pro. The information provided in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and is not a substitute for independent clinical judgment or personalized patient care. The content is not designed to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, nor is it intended to direct patient management decisions.
Welcome to Wellness Unfiltered Pro Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Arland Hill, Director of Clinical Education for Biotics Research. Before I introduce our topic and professional panel today, I would like to acknowledge our sponsor, Biotics Research. Family-owned and operated for nearly 50 years, Biotics Research continues to revolutionize the nutritional supplement industry by utilizing the best of science and nature to create high-quality nutritional supplements. With a continued focus on innovation and the use of unique and clinically proven delivery systems such as emulsified nutrients, vegetable culture tableting base, and plant matrix minerals, Biotics Research continues to be a pioneer in the professional nutritional supplement industry. Old ideas rediscovered. Many of the nutritional strategies we use today are not as novel as they first appear. In fact, many have deep historical roots, though the science and clinical application may look quite different now. Such is the case with glandular therapy. In our last conversation, we laid the groundwork, introducing the concept of like supports like, and discussing how tissues from animals have traditionally been used to support the same tissues in humans. Today, we'll be building directly on that foundation. In part two, our attention shifts to the remainder of the glandulars offered in the Biotics Research product line that stand out as single ingredient products. This discussion is designed to be practical with an emphasis on how each product may be considered in clinical decision making. We'll not only identify the intended applications, but also highlight distinctions between formulas, explore where they may complement broader protocols, and address considerations for use in patient care. In today's discussion, we'll continue peeling back the layers of this topic, aiming to provide both clarity and practical perspective. And before we dive deeper, allow me to once again introduce the professionals joining me. First, Joe Bushes. Joe Bushes, a licensed dietitian, nutritionist, and CCN, has been using Biotics products clinically for over 40 years. He is also the host of a video magazine called The Tuesday Minute. Also with us is Daniel Benning. Daniel is an experienced practitioner and functional medicine consultant that has been with Biotics Research for over 25 years, covering Arizona and New Mexico. In our last conversation, the focus was isolated glandular extracts, single ingredient products. We will continue the focus while talking about a few combination products today. To bring us back into this topic, I'm going to turn the microphone over to Joe to address kidney-related products. Chronic renal dysfunction continues to be a growing problem, and with what appears to be a true lack of quality interventions, the landscape is primed for some unique offerings. Joe, I'm going to turn this over to you to share your experience with us regarding these kidney and renal applications.
Well, thanks, Arlen, and it's a pleasure to be here. And I just want to talk about for a second, whenever I hear the word kidney or liver, you know, I'm kind of at that age, you mentioned 40 years using Biotics products, where I start to think more about age and what's happening. And as we get old in our youth, most physiological functions have significant, what I'm going to call spare capacity. But even in health, as we age, we start to see progressive erosions of these safety margins. And we could all see declines in lean muscle mass or bone mass. But if we're looking at blood in older patients, we can see a decline in liver and kidney function. I mention that because some people question glandular support. And I know Daniel and I are both members of the IAACN. And at one of our meetings, I met a clinician who specialized in using glandulars therapeutically. And he designed a study to validate his experience titled Support of Human Gland Organ Function with Raw Protein Concentrates as Measured by Improvements in Serum Chemistry Value. That's a mouthful, to say the least. But he was able to document that the ingestion of raw protein concentrates improves organ gland function. And the tissues he studied were liver, thyroid, and lung. And he used ALT, T4 and carbon dioxide as indicators. And changes in serum chemistry were used to measure the improvement of the gland function. And the study, you know, showed that raw protein glandular concentrates, I'm quoting from the study, can nourish the target human tissue and improve physiological function. And although this study didn't report specifically on kidney function, it shows that feeding glands, which is really the topic of our conversation, it's the food that they need to repair. It can make a difference. And the difference showed up in lab tests. So I think that gives us a little extra confidence. There's a lot we don't know about natural kidney therapeutics, but we do know that providing food to the gland in question repair is always a consideration. And speaking of food, as long as I'm talking about kidneys, if you think about the difference between an aged kidney from an adult animal exposed to environmental challenges, an adult farm animal has literally processed hundreds of thousands of gallons of urine in their lifetime versus a 1 to 3 day old animal that's primed for healthy growth. And the question I always ask, you know, my patients, what gland would you rather take to support repair? An older tissue like that or a young animal? And for me, it's always a young animal. Well, Cytozyme KD, which is Biotics product, supplies 250 milligrams of neonatal kidney tissue per tablet, as well as 20 micrograms of the powerful antioxidant blend of superoxide dismutase and 20 micrograms of catalase. And I've always said this, it's difficult to build a building without the specific raw materials needed to build that building. And neonatal tissue is at the height of anabolic growth in the earliest days of life to provide specific raw materials for kidney growth and spark rebuilding. Earlier studies that have been done with DNA and RNA from neonatal glands, results have showed that gram for gram neonatal tissue is the richest source of DNA. But this is something, I know I'm a little off the range on this one, but might be a little esoteric, but there's also an energetic factor involved. Because glands do contain genetic material that can turn on or switch on repair mechanisms. And I don't know how many doctors, guys, have shared with me how they were using what they thought was going to be the most effective nutrient for that particular organ. But when they added glandular material on that targeted therapeutic gland, everything turned around. And I know we talked about this on the last podcast, but I wanted to remind our listeners that all glands are really not the same. Most commercially available glandular raw materials are collected from different cattle carcasses of various ages and obtained from numerous slaughterhouses. And the animals have a lifetime storage of those toxins used on the farm they're grown on. And these tissues are then pooled and processed into powdered preparations and sold to manufacturers. Manufacturers encapsulate them and put them in powders or capsules or tablets. But really, clinicians and consumers have no knowledge or even understanding of their sources. They have no clue about the age of the animals used or the degree of environmental exposure. And the glands are never tested for pesticides, herbicides, or metal contamination. On the other hand, Biotics, they routinely test for environmental toxins. Another topic that people don't talk about in adult gland manufacturers, and I might be repeating myself, but I just think it's so important, is that when you have adult glands, you have to use harsh solvents to remove the fat from the gland. And I haven't really checked in the last year or so, but they used to use, for decades, they used hexane to remove the gland, the fat from the gland. Our patients, especially our female pregnant patients, used to feel nauseous with glands. And years ago, there used to be a company called Nutridyne, and our sales rep used to tell us, these are a healing crisis. Don't worry about it. They're just getting better. But funny thing happened. When we shift to Biotics glands, suddenly all the healing crisis side effects, they just disappear. You see, the fat in the gland has to remove because it's the fat that makes it go rancid, and that's what makes it smell. Neonatal glands have far less fat, and as such, food-grade preparations can remove the fat. So tissues from these newborn animals possess higher anabolic activity and have minimal exposure to these environmental stressors. I know it's outside our discussion a little bit, but I wanted to share a protocol that an MD shared at a blood chemistry seminar about 20 years ago. He was supporting kidney function with his dialysis patients. Now, since they were under such aggressive care, blood work was a regular part of their treatment. Now, it's important to note that he was not treating the patients with dialysis. Rather, he was supporting them with food to nourish the kidneys. And I'm sharing this as really as an academic consideration, not as a therapeutic directive. But he supported them with Cytozyme KD, Renal Plus, which I'm also going to talk about in a minute, Gaminol Forte, which helps increase a number of things, CoQ Plus, and Argizyme. And his goal was to support physiology with these nutrients. He was not treating them to stop or modify treatments. But when he stood up and shared this, I think everybody took note. He shared that at least 12 patients that he knew of no longer needed dialysis after a period of time. Now, kidneys are very sensitive to oxidation, and this particular combination supports repair by changing the environment and supporting nucleoproteins that feed tissues. And again, this is not a protocol. He was just feeding and supporting the kidneys. So it's just one more indication that providing food to support glands can make a big difference in the repair mechanisms. So Cytozyme KD, again, as I said, provides 250 milligrams of neonatal kidney per tablet, as well as 20 micrograms of SOD and catalase. A secondary product, Renal Plus, is really more of a multiple for kidneys. And it contains vitamin A, C, B6, and magnesium that are present with 100 milligrams of neonatal kidney tissue. It also contains small amounts of liver and thymus, as well as some immune support botanicals and antioxidants. And as we know, infections grow in wet and warm conditions. So Renal Plus has some immune support with the vitamins A, C, A, and C, as I mentioned. But there's also some neonatal thymus, some echinacea. It contains buchu leaf and uva ursi to reduce mucus buildup and act as a natural diuretic. Another study I think our listeners would be really interested in was actually reported by two Harvard researchers in 1974. They found that even with poorly absorbed magnesium oxide, 300 milligrams daily, and vitamin B6, 10 milligrams daily, that patients could reduce the risk of recurrent calcium oxalate stones by 92.3%, which to me is dramatic. Nobody talks about that. The research was published in the Journal of Urology. And just to give you a perspective, 4 tablets twice a day of Renal Plus would give you those dosages as well as other kidney support. Just as we're talking about this, as long as we're talking about kidneys, I just want to remind our listeners that it's difficult for a damaged kidney to rebuild and repair in an overly acidic environment. As the pH decreases, oxidation dramatically increases. So it's important to give the body what it needs to heal. And one of the main things is an alkaline medium. And so vegetables are really the best way to buffer excess acids. If the chemistry is too acidic, the level of oxidation is increased exponentially. And so obviously people want to take a closer look at that in any kind of therapeutic level of the kidneys. But while we're in the physiology neighborhood, the adrenals sit on top of the kidneys. And I know you had some insights on Cytozyme AD, Daniel.
Joe, thank you for that. That's a great refresher and useful information, I think, for the listeners out there. You know, as you talk about the adrenals sitting on top of the kidneys, I often refer to them lately to the practitioners out there as raisins sitting on top of the kidneys because of our high stress lifestyle, our go, go, go sympathetic dominant lifestyle that just burns these adrenals out. And so we have in the line of the glandular world, like we've talked about in, you know, the first podcast and refreshing here and going into more detail, we have Cytozyme AD, which is adrenal glandular. And it's adrenal cortex and medulla. So we got to think about, like you said, Joe, the food of these glands. That's the important concept here. It's the proteins. It's the unique peptides. It's the enzymes. It's all these cofactors, nutrients unique to that specific gland. We've mentioned this before. If you put a radioactive isotope on that glandular component, it ends up in the gland you're trying to reach. You think about the DNA, the RNA, all these components that are feeding this tissue. So when we're talking about like, where would I use a product like this? You know, some of, and briefly, the common signs of altered adrenal function. You know, we know these. I know many of the practitioners know this out there, but, you know, this weakness, this tiredness, this fatigue people are seeing, that they're just not responsive. I always call it, you know, they just can't get off the couch, basically. I always had a great silver bullet from one of my mentors is intolerance to bright lights. When you see people that are outside, now I live in Arizona, yes, a lot of people wear sunglasses, but when they walk into the building and they still leave their sunglasses on, and there's a pupillary reflex test to look at those components, but that is a sign of adrenal fatigue. They get lightheaded, that postural hypotensives can be adrenal fatigue. And you look at these patients and they just are burnt out. Again, the raisins on top of the kidneys. You look at salt cravings, these people that say, oh my gosh, I love potato chips. You think of this component, the altered blood pressure patient, where they're, again, postural hypotensive. This is a great place to use CytoZyme AD. You know, and also think of these patients. I love this. You know, I'm on the road in sales. And it's that line at Starbucks at 3 o'clock in the afternoon that goes around the block because they need their caffeine. You know, it's the what we call the denial and cover up, where they, you know, they need their energy drink, they need their sugar, they need their caffeine. Well, that's Starbucks for you, and or whatever serving they like to get their fix on, because the adrenals are just beat. You know, years ago, there was a great speaker that I had followed, and I'm sure the term has been coined elsewhere, but it was called the cortisol steel. And all of that stress response is draining the other hormonal pathways in the adrenal gland. And so you get these, you know, this cortisol cranking for that sympathetic dominance, that fast-paced lifestyle. You all know that who are listening in about that high cortisol patient, but they also reach the level of burnout. And this is where CytoZyme AD comes in so effectively. And what I like about it is it's just the glandular component itself. There's no other components in this product, because sometimes these patients are so burnt out, they're so sensitive, that giving them other components, they just can't handle it yet. And so utilizing CytoZyme AD at, you know, 1 to 2 BID, you can increase from there until your patient or your client gives you a response of, oh yeah, I'm feeling a little bit more solid. You know, as a refresher too, another great mentor of mine, as we, you know, Dr. Hill said, I've been in this, as you have, Joe, for quite a while. I've got a lot of wonderful mentors. He said, you will never fix a thyroid fully unless you address the adrenal gland, because you have the adrenal pituitary thyroid axis, that triangle. I always visualize that triangle when people are asking me for help with these patients that are struggling in thyroid, adrenal. But I'm going to segue that topic into CytoZyme PT-HPT, because that's the other component of that triangle. You know, this is the patient sometimes where we would use a product we have called CytoZyme PT-HPT. It's pituitary hypothalamus tissue. It's from Ovine. And it's 40 milligrams per tablet. And as Joe, you've mentioned, we've talked about many times, and Dr. Hill, we've covered this, it has the SOD catalase from our tableting base, which is that extra antioxidant component, we could definitely cover a lot of that material someday at a further talk. But you look at that adrenal pituitary thyroid axis, and I know, Dr. Hill, you're going to get into thyroid in more detail and glandulars of that arena. But when you have what we'll call secondary hypothyroidism, when you have all these subjective indications of hypothyroidism, but objectively it's not showing up with the values in a blood test that would show you hypothyroidism, this is where CytoZyme PT-HPT can come in and help wake up the pituitary hypothalamus, your master, you know, hormone regulator, and feed the thyroid information south to get better function. Many years ago, we were talking earlier, I was in a clinic, and a brilliant osteopath I worked for, he would use this for people who had children in their life and never really hormonally, emotionally came back on board. Because he always said the pituitary takes a real thumping during the birthing process. And then also think of this too, and I see this a lot, and again, just from experience and feedback from these amazing clinicians that I love to learn from every day out there, is when somebody's been in a car accident or some kind of head trauma, look for pituitary dysfunction. They often show a little bit hypothyroid, but that pituitary in that cage gets rattled and almost bruised. It's like a bruising that happens. So this is where a product like this can wake up the gland. You look at, you know, Johns Hopkins noted hypopituitarism happens when your pituitary gland is not active enough. The front lobe of the gland may only partly work, or it may not work at all. As a result, the gland does not make enough hormones. That hormonal master regulator, when we look at all the other hormonal pathways, we have to go to these foundational components, the adrenal, the pituitary, the thyroid. Look at that triad before, in my opinion, my simple opinion, we go to other avenues. Segue that now when we're talking about hormonal support and before we go to the other avenues. You know, we have a product that I don't think is utilized enough, and ironically in my meetings lately has come up more often than not, is orchic tissue. We have cytozyme orchic. And when you're looking at testicular dysfunction, and we're all, you know, the arena of testosterone therapy and all these things, I'm not against that at all. But we need to look again at the foundational building blocks, and I think glandulars are a foundational component to a proper nutritional consultation, because as we've seen over all these years, the impressive responses patients have. Where would you use cytozyme orchic tissue? Well, cytozyme orchic tissue is testicular tissue. And I've used it with low sperm count, low morphology. Not saying this treats anything at all. I'm saying, and I will share with you the response I've gotten over the years that I've received over the years is, man, you're waking up things. Men will feel this response at times. They have a little ache down there, a little bit of, whoa, what's going on? When we feed the right tissue to the right gland. Orchic tissue, I like to use as an adjunctive therapy when we are looking at hormonal therapy. Again, looking at that triad we've talking about, but then looking at the hormonal responses of other glands, which I know, Dr. Hill, you're going to get into with the GTA and the GTA Forte. So if you don't mind, I'm going to pass it on to you, unless you guys had anything to give in feedback there that I might have missed.
You know, before you go any further, let me just share one more thought about the adrenals, Daniel, because you know, I've been kind of stressed out myself, and I've had some of that, I don't want to say afternoon on the couch experience, but I definitely feel like my butt's been kicked at 3 o'clock. And I was sharing that some of my symptoms with a clinician, and he reminded me that, and sometimes we forget about this, but one of the jobs of cortisol is to change glycogen to glucose. So if your cortisol is low, you don't have the gas. You don't have the glucose to make for cells to work properly. And if the other thing is that he taught me this, I didn't know this, but he said, if your adrenal glands are sluggish, you're not getting enough oxygen to your brain. So if you're not getting enough oxygen to your brain, it's more difficult to make decisions. And I think a lot of our hypoglycemic patients in particular are really struggling with adrenal issues, and we kind of overlook it and think about, oh, too much sugar, well, I got to balance it out with diet. Well, that's true. I'm not denying that. But I think that adrenal is a huge picture that I know I've forgotten in the past with that conversion of glycogen to glucose and oxygen to the brain. So just something to consider for our listeners.
Absolutely. Spot on, Joe. Thanks for sharing that.
Guys, as I've been listening to you share this information, and it's just such a wealth of information, there are some things that come to mind for me from a philosophical standpoint. And Before I continue moving forward into products and discussing some additional glandular products that we offer at Biotics Research, I want to just remind the listeners on some of these philosophical concepts. And I'm going to ask that for you as the listener, don't disconnect to what I'm getting ready to say. I want you to stay with me, because if you understand the philosophy behind the glandulars, then the clinical applications become far easier, and your ability to make these recommendations become far easier. Literally, Joe, to what some of the things that you were just speaking about and Daniel Pryor, when you think about how these apply, many times, maybe it's because of the environment that we all exist in when it comes to healthcare and being dominated by a conventional mindset, it becomes almost reflexive to approach things from a pharmaceutical model. But that's not the strategy of a glandular. It truly is a nutritional restorative model. And it doesn't mean that we're overlooking mechanisms of action, or that we're overlooking cofactors or other metabolites that are going to be physiologically impactful. It simply means that we're taking a broader view of what it means to have an optimal adrenal gland, what it means to have optimal kidney function, and all the various facets that go into supporting those tissues. This is where I default back to where I started in our introduction at, with the like supports like mentality. And if you always come back to that mindset as your starting point, then you tend to leave behind that conventional ideology. Not that, now I'm not suggesting there's anything wrong with that, but what we don't want to overlook is this nutritional supportive full spectrum approach to supporting various glands. It erases the myopic view of how you support a target tissue. For example, and I'll go back to what you just said, Joe, when you look at the value of cortisol, it's not simply about if someone is in a low cortisol state, hypocortisolemia, that you're just going to directly replace cortisol. We think broader than that and think, how do we support the tissues that support cortisol production? But then, to your point, Daniel, looking at these, as you mentioned, the triad between the pituitary, the thyroid, and the adrenals, how do you support not just the adrenal gland, but how do you concurrently support the pituitary and the thyroid all at the same time? Because the reality is that the adrenal gland is not sitting out there acting in isolation. It's dysfunctional as part of a complex of dysfunction. And we really need to tackle, or at least at a minimum, clinically acknowledge each aspect of that. One other philosophical point that I do want to make before I talk about our last two products is, Joe, early on you mentioned you were talking about the neonatals, and I think sometimes it's easy to overlook that verbiage in our in the product name or in the just in the description of the product. But that is such an important concept, because ultimately everything that we do in the more nutritional, health-oriented, trying to support and promote health, you're ultimately trying to push someone towards a more anabolic state. Neonatal tissues are inherently anabolic. So inherently, they are aligned with the goal and the outcome that you're trying to achieve as the practitioner, irrespective of what facet of clinical care that you're working in. So with those points behind us, let's talk about GTA and GTA Forte. And actually, I'll go ahead and say GTA Forte too, because there's truly three products in this category here. So GTA is, just to break these down and differentiate these for you, GTA, porcine glandular concentrate, this is going to be a 5 milligram serving size on that, and it's going to have the addition of selenium in here. So those are the ingredients that you get with that product. 5 milligrams is your main point of differentiation here. From there, you step up to GTA Forte. Now, the GTA Forte takes you from 5 milligrams up to 20 milligrams. And in addition to selenium, it also adds in zinc, copper, and rubidium. Now, I did suggest that there was a third option in here as well, which is the GTA Forte 2. And the difference between the Forte and the Forte 2 is that the Forte 2 is going to have a lower dose of copper compared to GTA Forte. The lower copper option is typically going to be best in areas where in areas that are inherently higher in copper. For example, anytime I think about this, for whatever reason, I tend to think about the upper Midwest. I think Michigan, just because it's known that there are higher copper, there's higher copper in the environment in Michigan. So individuals may not need that higher amount of copper in those particular areas. But that's something that may be the difference between the application of GTA Forte and GTA Forte 2. Probably is really more of a regional application, is at least initially how you would think about that. But again, always fall back on your clinical indicators as to whether or not there's a need for copper there. And remember, when you're looking at this, you're looking at this not from a pharmaceutical perspective, but you're looking at it more from a nutritional supportive mindset. And so if we think about typically what that means in the clinical environment as far as thyroid and what indicators we're often looking at, we may look for things in regards to physical signs, lateral thinning of the outer third of the eyebrows. You may have someone that has a thick, sort of thick, heavy tongue, has lateral scalloping teeth marks on the side of their tongue. They're hyporeflexive. Maybe kind of the easy one is that maybe they're carrying too much weight or maybe they're constipated. But of course, you've got multiple other factors that could be playing into those. Or you may be looking at labs. But regardless of which direction you go on this, one thing that I would suggest to you when it comes to applying a product like GTA Forte or the lower dose option of just GTA is don't get hyperfixated on only looking at T4 and T3. Look at this from a global perspective. Look at all of your thyroid markers. Look at the markers that are going to likely influence thyroid function. Again, your other hormones, your steroid hormones, those all become effective. And sometimes we get asked, well, I'm giving GTA, but I'm seeing impacts on these other tissues in the body. Yeah, because now we're applying nutritional support that is not solely working or is not intended to work or have a limitation of benefit to one functional tissue or one tissue in the body. It has much broader, more global aspects about it. Now, in the context of thyroid, if you want more information on GTA, GTA Forte, and GTA Forte 2, make sure you go back to the first podcast that we ever did where we delved extremely deep into thyroid products and all things thyroid. You'll find even more additional information there that you can tap into. I have one product left that I want to cover with you today, and that's going to be Cytozyme O. And Cytozyme O, this is ovarian tissue. So Daniel talked about Cytozyme Orchid. Now we've got Cytozyme O for the ovarian tissue. And this is a bovine source of ovarian tissue. To best understand this, it makes sense to just ask the question of, well, what are the functions of the ovary? Well, at the most basic level, the ovary is going to be responsible for egg production. So, of course, when we start to think about reproduction, that becomes a consideration. But additionally, the ovary is also going to be responsible for progesterone and estrogen production, which is going to influence menstrual patterning and regulation. Now, through various parts of the lifespan, we can appreciate the need to try to optimize progesterone and estrogen. And we also acknowledge that from a female health standpoint, these are typically the two hormones that are going to be the most dysregulated in the female population. And if you look at some of the factors that are well known and established to influence ovarian function, you start to think about things like age. Genetics can, of course, have a play in there. Lifestyle choices or lack thereof, optimal choices begin to have an impact. Medications. And the medication, while there's multiple that we could point to here, probably the most ubiquitous in this category and that has the most lasting impactful effect is going to be birth control. Oral contraceptives are a medication class that inherently are going to affect ovarian function. When it comes to the application of Cytozyme O, we asked the question, well, what would be some clinical applications that we would bring this into play? Well, if we're looking at the ability to try to balance progesterone and estrogen function, then we certainly have to start there. If you're looking at dysmenorrhea, whether that is in the teenage years or whether that's transitioning somewhere towards middle age of life, there could be an application through all of these, or just simply a primary ovarian insufficiency. And I think this one is interesting because this probably underscores the rationale for applying Cytozyme O more so than anything else, simply because all you're looking to try to do here is support and provide the basic cofactors, precursors, nutritional stimulation and support that is needed for these tissues throughout the body to function. So again, applying like supports like is inherently what we're looking at here. And from a clinical view, you may recognize this as things like irregular or missed periods. Certainly when we start getting towards the menopausal years, we'll begin to think about things like hot flashes, night sweats, vaginal dryness becomes a consideration here, mood swings, right? And these things, they tend to travel in clusters. They don't tend to travel in isolation. So most of the time, a female patient is going to check more than one of these boxes. But you'll also get things like fatigue, acne, libido changes. Are going to decrease libido can be a factor here. Insomnia is certainly a big one as well. And many times, and certainly justifiably so, we often think, well, if I've got someone who's struggling with insomnia, let me give them a sleep support product. And that does make sense, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But if we always go back and ask the question, why? Why is this happening? That is going to ultimately lead you back to making a consideration of what's happening at the ovary, what's happening with the estrogen and progesterone. Are we getting adequate stimulation of the GABA receptors with progesterone? If not, how do we support progesterone? And Cytozyme O, if we're looking to directly support the tissues that are responsible for production of progesterone, then we've got an option that we can look to deploy with these patients. And maybe lastly, to just simply think about here, I'm giving you more states of dysfunction, but if we're looking for options that are just simply helping someone move and transition through different stages of life smoother, for example, that transition through menopause, then this is going to be a product that can support that. It's a product that can work for females across the lifespan. So again, it's not solely isolated to that menopausal transition time frame, but it is across the lifespan. Dosing on this is going to be variable. It's really coming down to clinical judgment and severity of how much support you think that individual needs. You may start with one a day, and that may be completely fine for that individual to maintain, and that might support their health. Or you may find that you need to provide more support, and you may be up to four a day on that as well. So that's Cytozyme O. And before I close out here, I just want to open back up to Joe and Daniel and just see if you guys have anything else that you want to share in the context of our conversation here today.
Well, one of the things I'd like to say is I really appreciate that discussion on Cytozyme O, and I have not used it nearly as much as I'd like to, because there's a ton of menopausal women that I have worked with over the years. And, you know, Equifem is a multiple. It's this, we used to have a product called PMT that was for premenstrual tension. And boy, then you would add the Cytozyme O to that, and a lot of menopausal symptoms cleared up just with that. And so I never thought about using just Cytozyme O, but I can see how powerful that could be, because a lot of the symptoms that people have that you were describing could really be solved with supporting that ovary tissue. So I appreciate your comments.
Yeah, for sure on that, Joe. And I appreciate you dropping a little teaser there for what's coming down the pipeline in some of our future podcasts here. So guys, as we come to a conclusion on today's podcast, it becomes even clearer that traditional interventions such as glandulars are well deserving of their resurgence in interest. They fill a unique nutritional role that is literally unmatched by other nutritional options. Up until this point, our primary focus has mostly been on products that focus on a single gland. As this podcast is part of a multi-part series on glandulars, we will have yet one more podcast on this topic. However, next time we're going to focus on multi-glandular products. So again, Joe, thank you for the teaser on that. So make sure you join us for that particular episode. If you're looking for additional information on any of the products or resources mentioned in today's show, please reach out to your local representative or the home office. In closing, I want to thank Joe and Daniel for their willingness to share their time and experience to help us all become more versed in the appropriate application of biotics research products. We all appreciate you being a part of today's podcast and hope you will join us again for another episode of the Wellness Unfiltered Pro Podcast.